Today to fill our lamps with oil. Thanks, Mike. Yeah.
Well, interestingly, coincidentally enough, I do cover the 10 versions, so I thought the hymn was quite well timed. So this exhort uses as an inspiration an exhort given by Brother Rees, and he was doing it in Pakuranga on the theme of waiting. And he covered some things. He talked about Abraham and Sarah, that when God promised them a son, they impatiently tried to fulfill the promise themselves by having a child through Hagar, Abraham's servant. And this led to complications, some conflict within the family. So instead of waiting for God, they took things into their own action, into their own hands. Rebecca and Jacob. Rebecca, Jacob's mother, deceived Isaac to ensure Jacob received the blessing intended for his older brother Esau. And this set into motion a series of events with lasting consequences. We had, if we remember the story of Jacob, all the different people, all the different tricky things he did. You know, stories of Laban, Esau. Maybe if he had just kind of followed and waited for God, things would have been simple. And he ended up having to work many years to get his beloved Rachel. I mean, I must have been quite surprised after the first 7 years, saying, "Yes, my beloved," and then, "Oh, who are you?" So, and then another 7 years. And we also have the story of Saul, the first king of Israel, and he disobeyed God's commands and he offered sacrifices himself. This is when he was supposed to be waiting for the prophet Samuel. And this is a task reserved for the priest. But he was scared and terrified that the people were going to go away because of the Philistines and decided to do it himself. And this act of impatience and self-reliance instead of relying on God led to his downfall. And so the point from this is that there are no shortcuts to waiting for something to occur properly. I've always been impressed by the steadfast faith of Jeremiah and how he continued to preach for 48 years in the face of oppression and persecution, stocks and all sorts of things added to him. And then there's also the Apostle Paul who also suffered much but also rejoiced that he could suffer for Christ. And these people are all examples for us, and we have much to learn from their steadfast faith that they were doing. And it can be hard to wait. It may sometimes seem that something is taking too long. We may forget our path, or lose our faith, or we keep attending, but we just go through the motions, as we don't know what else to do. So we need to look at these examples from Scripture and know that it was harder for them and that they kept doing. Luke 21:34. This is Jesus' words to us. "But be on your guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that they close down on you suddenly like a trap. For it will overtake all who live on the face of the whole earth. But stay alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that must happen, and to stand before the Son of Man." So, what is the key? The key for this is endurance. We all need endurance in our run to the kingdom. The runners that do the 100-meter sprint can run very fast and look very impressive, but they will have troubles running a marathon. It's not how fast we get to the kingdom. The important thing is getting there. It's getting the prize. We don't know how long the path is to the kingdom, so we have to make sure we're able to make the journey. We don't know exactly when Christ will return, but we do know that we want to be there and part of it. So, the story of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25, reading from Matthew 25. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins. They took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of the virgins were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they did not take extra olive oil with them. But the wise ones took flasks of olive oil with their lamps. And you can, in your mind, think, well, I only need this long, it's only going to take not long. Why carry extra? It's going to be more of a pain, more of a hassle. You can kind of see that in your mind. But the wise ones took flasks of oil with their lamps. When the bridegroom was delayed a long time, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. But at midnight there was a shout. Look, the bridegroom is here. Come out to meet him. Then the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones sent to the wise, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there won't be enough for you and for us. Go instead to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they had gone to buy it, the bridegroom arrived, and those who were ready went inside with him to the wedding banquet. Then the door was shut. Later, the other virgins came too, saying, Lord, Lord, let us in. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I do not know you. Therefore, stay alert, because you do not know the day or the hour. This story of the 10 virgins is exactly the story we find ourselves in today. We want to be like the 5 wise virgins and keep our faith strong and prepared for Christ's return. We all have the opportunity for life eternal through the relationship we have through God, through baptism. It's easy to begin something, but it's harder to continue to keep doing it and keep doing it well. It's easier to start university than to keep attending and to graduate, for example. 5 of the virgins didn't have enough oil. They had oil, just not enough. Their lamps are about to go out as the bridegroom was later than expected. We read about some of the other believers at the time. John 12:42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And they, in that situation, prioritized human approval over divine approval. And divine approval rewards you for eternity. And so they had the wrong priority. We're here because we have confessed that we believe and we've been baptized. And what we need to do is to keep our faith and to have enough oil in our storage. We have many examples in the Bible of people whose faith in God was strong. And we need to look at their examples and learn from their often many mistakes to make sure we keep on the path. Hebrews 11, from verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Okay. I always think that's Gideon myself. Became valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of strangers. Do I talk about Gideon? No, I don't. I'm taking a slight sidetrack. Gideon, we did some talk on it recently. It's really interesting. If you look every way through him, he steadily got more and more. In the middle of the night, chop this down, no one else can see it, and then more and more. And then there's the story of the cake. It's a beautiful story. When you go through it, how his courage was just kind of built up. These are our brothers and sisters who believed, and many of these at times when the majority around them didn't believe. Like at the time of Gideon, they all believed in idols, a good proportion, and they were worshipping idols openly in the city where he was. And even less believed today. We don't have any prophets at the moment doing great wonders, but we see the growth of evil and godlessness in the world. And we see God's hand moving among the nations. It's all the You see America's proxy war against Russia with Ukraine and how they basically put hooks into Russia and pulled them into Ukraine. And Russia, who had a fairly small army beforehand, was it 300 and something thousand? Now it's got over a million, 1.2 million? And now their forces are all very solid. They're just grinding these poor Ukrainians and just killing them as they just slowly grind forward with superior forces. It's pretty horrific, but this is God's purpose. He's got his tool now refined and ready. And now the question is what's going to happen next? And so it's all getting very, very close and interesting. I've got some verses from Jude 17. But you, dear friends, recall the predictions foretold by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. For they said to you, in the end time, there will come scoffers, propelled by their own ungodly desires. These people are divisive, worldly, devoid of the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith, by praying in the Holy Spirit, maintain yourselves in the love of God, while anticipating the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that brings eternal life. And so recognizing this, we need to be maintaining ourselves in the love of God. We need to be building up our faith and strengthening each other and preaching of his coming kingdom, knowing that it is coming soon. We know the story of the race between the rabbit and the turtle. And the lesson there is that consistency is the most important. We must keep strong and we must keep walking the road to the kingdom. We have to keep moving forward one step at a time. Maybe we've got struggles in life. So long as we keep moving forward, that's our target, and we keep moving, that's what's important. And our walk is between us and God. We often hear people blaming this person to that person to that, whatever. But you know the message. And it's between you and God. And that's it. It's as simple as that. We can't blame anyone else for our mistakes. And like our examples in Scripture, we need to repent of any mistakes we've made and turn completely towards God. Jesus said in Luke 21:28, "But when these things begin to happen, stand up and raise your heads, for your redemption is drawing near." And seeing it, the signs of the times are becoming all the more frequent. We need to take this as encouragement, that the end of the race is coming soon, that we should pick our efforts. We need to get our second wind to refresh ourselves. And it's quite beautiful. Stand up and raise your heads. Feel like, yes, it's coming. You can feel it. You can almost visualize the finish line, and you can just kind of press on that extra bit to the end. Jesus' brother James says in 1 James 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, who is like a man studying his natural face in a mirror? For he studied himself and went his way, and immediately forgot what he was like." It can be easy to examine ourselves, see many things for improvement, and after leaving, completely forget what we saw. That's my common complaint is, "Oh, that was a great exhort last week. What was it about? Oh, I was going to do something. Oh, what was that?" But the most important thing I find is pick small, little, iterative things for improvement. And then you can just do a little bit more, and you can slowly build. James 1:25. "But the one who peers into the perfect law of liberty and fixes his attention there and does not become a forgetful listener, but one who lives it out, will be blessed in what he does." So we can't be forgetful listeners. We're here to remember our brother of the Lord, to examine ourselves, and to work to improve. We always need to improve. Christ is such an amazing example. We've got lots to go, lots to do to try and be more like him, and so that when he sees us, when he returns, he can see him in us. And that's why we're here today. We're here to refresh our faith. We're here to refuel our lamps and then do. We can't forget, We need to remember who we truly are, and throughout the week, we need to show others the love and joy we share in Christ. 1 John 3:18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And by this we will know that we are of the truth, and will convince our conscience in his presence. John 3:16, for this is the way God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. But God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world should be saved through him. And so we see here, I'm just linking with the 1 John 3, about we need to love in work and also in deed and truth, that God did that. We have the example of God doing that for us through the death of his Son. Faith involves believing and then showing, demonstrating that belief by showing God's love to others. Love is putting our belief into action. It's easy to just do the motions, but to really do and to show love to all, that can be a challenge. We have to make sure that we continue to do what we promised and to continue to do God's will. I remember many years ago when I was looking at the fruits of the Spirit and thinking, well, I need to try and do this everywhere. And so I'd go into the dairy to buy a bar of chocolate and, hello, how are you going? And be really friendly. And I found that the more you did this, just be friendly and show love to everyone, you always got positive interactions back. And often when you'd see them again, they'd probably want to help you with something. There was some study, I don't have it here, but where they studied, you know, if you just reciprocate or if you take from people or if you show love, the ones who are successful at the end were the ones who showed love. Because taking help may help you now once, but showing love, that actually helps your future self. It's an investment in the future because you'd be showing love to these people and then other people, and then in the future they'll come back and they'll return back to you, where if you take, you'll never get anything else. Because if someone's seen you being mean, they're never going to help you again. So love is always the key. God showed us his love with the death of his Son, and we are here to remember his sacrifice and his example of love and endurance. And Paul says in Galatians 5, reading from verse 16, but I say live by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh has desires that are opposed to the Spirit, and the Spirit has desires that are opposed to the flesh. For these are in opposition to each other, so that you cannot do what you want. And so to do this, we have to, with patience and perseverance, we need to be continuing in the ways of the fruits of the Spirit, which is later on in that chapter. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And every time I read that, I always feel a little uplift, because you can feel those beautiful attributes. And the more that we show these attributes, the closer to Christ we are. We need to be continually evaluating our performance. If we show a lack of patience, or we get angry, or whatever, we need to realize we are in that small moment showing the ways of the flesh. And part of remembering Christ's sacrifice is also appraising our own sacrifice and performance and working to be more like Christ our Lord and Master. It's easy to begin something. It's hard to continue on. And the problems with this world are because of the ways of the flesh. We have been called to a higher calling. And that's why we're here today. We're here to remember our Lord and Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died to provide a way for us to wash away our sins. We were baptized into him because we believed in what he did. Reading from Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest incapable of sympathizing with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace whenever we need help. God began his relationship with us with the death and resurrection of his Son. We need to invest our time in this relationship. We need to read the Word to hear what God has to say and communicate back to God with prayer. Soon our wait will be over and Christ will return, but until then we need to be prepared. We need to be able to endure until Christ returns. We need to have enough oil for our lamps. We are in this for the long haul. This life, for many, is for the short term. Short-term prizes, but we're here wanting the long-term prize, which is far better. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Do you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the training goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." And to Timothy, Paul said, encouraging him, "For I am now ready to..." Oh, sorry. 2 Timothy 4, from 6 to 8. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." We are still in the race. We have our examples from Scripture. We are helping each other and striving forwards towards the kingdom. And we're here today to remember our Lord and Master's death and resurrection. And I'm going to conclude by reading from Hebrews 12, from verse 1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we must get rid of every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and run with endurance the race set out for us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set out for him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." Thank you.